The topic on today's Cradle and the Convert is human trafficking. Some subject matter may not be suitable for sensitive ears. So if you need to adjust your location or take the children out of the room for the first part of the show, we recommend that you do that now.
And now, 88.9 and 96.5 FM WDCR brings you The Cradle and the Convert. Join your hosts, Dave Slade and Mark Bartholomew, for a conversation about local issues with a Catholic perspective.
All right, good Thursday morning, everybody, and welcome to The Cradle and the Convert here on Decatur Catholic Radio, WDCR 88.9. I'm Dave Slade, your host, The Cradle Convert.
And I'm Mark Bartholomew.
Hey, welcome back, Mark. You know, you were gone for quite a while.
I was
on your vacation.
I was.
And I've been out for the past couple of weeks with this cold or whatever it was that I had. It wasn't the flu because I didn't have a temperature, but sweats and the terrible, terrible cough, migraine-type headache, just an awful thing. And I guess it's going through the community.
Yep.
A lot of people are down with
they
it.
Do.
It's an awful thing. If you feel it coming on, I can only say this. Go to the doctor.
Oh, yeah?
Come here to St. Mary's. Go to one of the HSHS doc in the boxes or something. Because you're not going to beat it on your own. I had to have Cipro.
Really?
Yeah. I had to have a puffer. I had to have cough medicine.
So it's not a virus.
It's a bacterial type thing.
I'll be darned.
And now they're saying on the news that the flu is just now hitting into the season.
Oh, great.
Coming up in January and February. And if you haven't gotten a flu shot, they're recommending very highly that you get a flu shot as soon as possible.
Hmm.
So I'll probably do that. I usually get one. I didn't this year, and I was kind of through the holiday seasons. I was chuckling at everybody that was sick because I wasn't sick.
Yeah.
And I just thanked God that I made it all the way through the holiday season without being sick. So then on New Year's Eve, I got hammered.
Yeah. Yeah,
figures,
well, there you go.
It?
Yep.
Excuse me.
No rest for the wicked.
No, you're right. And the weather has been so confusing. You know, we've had some cold snaps, and now today it's, in the 50s? And
yeah, it's supposed to be. I don't think it's there quite yet.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, you know, on the show today, Mark, we're going to learn about an important matter that's an epidemic across the nation, around the country and the world. And January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. And I certainly need to up my knowledge and awareness of the signs of human trafficking. I know you work with Webster Cantrell, and maybe you have some experience with this, with runaways and different things
Our runaways are usually, the vast majority of them are less than 24 hours.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not like years ago.
Well, we're going to have a couple guests on today. They're going to help us define the problem and what it means to us and how the ecumenical community is addressing the problem with a focus on local awareness and solutions. We're going to be speaking in the studio today with Abby Fitzgerald, a local gal that's going to talk about local issues. And then Cindy Curo, I believe is it Curo?
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to be on the phone with us from somewhere in the sunny south.
Ah.
And she's going to talk to us about the local Set Free team and what the Decatur community can do as far as dealing with human trafficking, since this is human trafficking.
Sounds great.
Okay, we're also going to have a gospel preview.
Okay.
And we'll have some community calendar. I've got the bishop's column from, and it's about Father Tolton.
Yes, I read that.
Okay, so we'll let the bishop read that to us,
and
we'll get going. We'll be back right after this message.
Awesome.
Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We establish orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other institution. We developed the scientific method and founded the college system. We defend the dignity of human life and uphold marriage. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church. With over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith, Jesus started our church when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." So if you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
Okay, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. I'm Dave Slade, your host, sitting here with Mark Barthelemy, my co-host. And this morning we're talking about human trafficking. January is Human Trafficking Awareness Month here in the United States and around the world. And we have two local folks with us that run the local Set Free team. And our first in-studio guest is Abby Fitzgerald. And Abby is the local Set Free team leader. She has a degree in psychology and is currently finishing her master's in counseling and human development counseling at UIS in Springfield. Abby became aware of the issue of human trafficking from another Set Free team out of Greenville, Illinois. In 2014, she was encouraged to start a team here in Decatur and to explore the local needs and work with the awareness of the issue. The team consisted of social workers in the area with a heart for the vulnerable in our community. They prayed for help in getting educated on the issue, and God answered that prayer directly by connecting Abby with Cindy Curo and to the team. So, and Cindy is on the phone with us. Good morning, Cindy.
Good morning.
And Cindy's a retired educator here in the Decatur area. She's been a teacher for the past 20 years, teaching health, criminal justice, and sociology at Futures, the alternative high school here in Decatur. In 2004, Cindy came across an article about sex trafficking happening in the United States to American girls, and after doing some research, she began to educate her students on the issue. After retiring in 2008, she moved to the Chicago area for 5 years, where she attended numerous conferences and seminars on the complexity of human traffic phenomena. So, good morning, ladies.
Good morning.
We're glad to have you with us. This is an issue that needs to be discussed, and the timing
Absolutely.
Couldn't be better with it being National Human Trafficking Awareness Month. So, my question to start the show here, Abby, if you'll help me out with this, is what is the actual definition and what is human trafficking?
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again for having us on the show. We really appreciate this opportunity. Just as a definition of human trafficking, it can be a form of modern-day slavery in which traffickers use force, fraud, or coercion to control victims for the purpose of engaging in commercial sex acts or labor services against his or her will. And just as a point of reference for what industries may be harboring trafficking victims would be things like the escort services, fake massage businesses, strip clubs, and street prostitution for the sex trafficking side. And then labor trafficking can involve domestic work, small businesses, and large farms. The interesting thing about this particular issue is the victims are coming from all demographics. So it's based on the demand, what the buyer is wanting. And so you're seeing different genders, you're seeing different people from, you know, ethnicities and socioeconomic backgrounds and involved in victims of this.
Now,
go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, Abby, what do you have any idea how much money is involved in these operations? I mean, is it enough that the federal government is involved in investigation and so forth?
I can't speak to the exact number. Cindy may have a better clue on that statistic. It's a lot of money, though. It's powering
a lot. So that's the motive in most cases?
Yes.
Now, I read that outside of drug trafficking, human trafficking is the number two.
No kidding.
Yeah. And Mark and I are both retired police officers, and I'm not real sure that when I retired 10 years ago, we were really talking that much about
this. No, I don't think so, Dave.
Mm-hmm. So, what do we see locally around here? Is it like migrant workers? Is it people that are forced to work in, like you said, the massage parlors and escort services? And luckily, Decatur, we don't seem to have a real big problem with that. But what have you seen locally that the team has worked on?
As far as the stories that we're hearing, as we go out into the community, people are opening our eyes even to what's happening locally. And I think there's suspicions of it happening in the massage parlors. There's definitely instances of family trafficking where a mother or father or a cousin or an aunt or uncle is exploiting one of the younger people in their family. I don't know if Cindy wants to speak more to that.
Well, certainly when I was teaching at Futures and after I was aware of the situation, I began to see that was happening in my students, the female ones in particular, as victims, and unfortunately my male students as perpetrators, because like was alluded to earlier, it is all about the money. It is a huge multi-million dollar industry that is organized, but then there are people that have decided, you know, they don't want to go an organized route. They're just out there on their own making a little money on the side. And it's just really important to know that the definition for human trafficking, and particularly the sex trafficking, has broadened quite a bit, especially in Illinois, to include any time something is exchanged for a sexual activity, it does not have to be money.
Mm-hmm.
A place to stay, some food, some clothing, just anything that's exchanged and it qualifies under that definition. Also, it's important to note that if someone is under the age of 18, which is mainly the age group that I dealt with and still do, there is no such thing as juvenile prostitution in Illinois anymore. Thankfully, a law has been passed back in 2011 that deemed that since you cannot legally give consent, mm-hmm. for sexual activity when you're under the age of 18, how can you be termed a prostitute? So they are no longer arrested for that. They are referred to social service if, you know, they are picked up, you know, under that type of activity. So
now, have the legislators, they have actually created and crafted laws that are directed towards trafficking here in Illinois?
Yes, they have, and I was aware of some of them, but then a couple months ago went to a training with a group called Chicago Alliance Against Sexual Exploitation, which I was involved with when I lived in the Chicago area. But after I moved back downstate, I would occasionally look at their newsletter. In the past, it had always been, you know, just peculiar to that region. I did open up one a couple months ago, and they were doing a training in Bloomington. Hmm. So I thought, oh, my goodness, I've got to go because they're just a great organization, and they have a grant now so that they can work downstate, which is wonderful. And they put together the six laws that they passed in the last 6 years. And so that's, you know, if you want me to read through those quickly, I certainly can. They're just really... in the implementation process of this now, because most people, even those that are working in this area, not aware that all of these are on the book. So.
Well, Cindy or Abby, either one, I'm curious, what keeps the youngsters in this? I mean, they may get into it, as described earlier, by different ways, but what keeps them from leaving?
One of the things that we're finding is just the vulnerability of the youth in this industry. They're being, you know, if they're being sought out, it's because they, you know, they have a weakness or they're longing for attention. They have some sort of need that's not being met, and sometimes it doesn't have to involve that if they're being threatened. You know, to stay involved. It doesn't make a lot of sense to us why someone would choose that kind of lifestyle, but if that's the only option that you have, or you feel like it's the only option you have because of the opportunities in your life, that is, you know, the path that they've chosen, and that's what feels safe to them.
Okay.
Well, go ahead, Cindy.
Oftentimes, if someone is an adult, all that has to be proven is that it doesn't have to be a force situation. It's coercion or fraud that is all that has to be proven. And so often, the girls in particular have fallen someone that they thought was their boyfriend, when all along it was just a grooming process for him to get her trust and her love and her devotion and loyalty. And then the flip is switched, so to speak, with whatever. I mean, a date rape drug, and then she's gang raped and videotaped, or what? I mean, there's just a multitude of ways that they are kept under the control, not necessarily physically, but mentally and emotionally, of their pimp and trafficker. And people ask me, you know, what's the difference in those terms? And there really isn't. Trafficker's just a little nicer, I guess, term than pimp, but they're right. They're one and the same, basically.
Okay. Yeah, that's sad. The emotional toll, I can't, being a male, I can't imagine how to even comprehend the entire realm. I mean, I certainly understand physical abuse, and we saw a lot of that. The emotional abuse, though, is in this particular trade, if you want to call it that, has to be horrendous.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it is. It is, and that's why we're so passionate to do the preventative awareness education component for this, so that people can be alerted and not ever even step foot into this type of activity.
Yeah.
Because it is so hard once they get entrenched in that. Yeah.
Sure.
To rescue and then the aftercare and, oh, my. It's, yeah.
Well, you know what? I want to get into the actual training itself of the churches and the police departments and different things and what we're doing. I want to take a quick break for us to catch our breath and take a big swig of coffee. And we're going to come back on the other side, and we'll discuss what our Set Free team is doing, how they're working with the local authorities, and what you as listeners can do to help in this problem. You're listening to The Cradle and the Convert here on 88.9, 96.5 WDCR. Decatur Catholic Radio.
Does hope give light to your day?
1 Minute Monk, Abbot Placid Solari of Belmont Abbey.
At the end of the long list of good works in his rule, St. Benedict finally gives the most important one. Never lose hope in God's mercy. Hope means that we bring the future, where Jesus already reigns as risen Lord and Savior, into the trials, fears, and discouragements of everyday life. Hope allows us to give a gentle reply to an angry outburst, to remain calm in the face of disappointments, to continue doing what we know we are supposed to do, even when the outcome seems fruitless. Hope allows us to turn over the results of our efforts to God, who will bring them to the completion He wills.
For your free copy of The Rule of Saint Benedict, visit oneminutemonk.com. oneminutemonk.com.
There are many places where the light of Jesus' resurrection does not shine. There is no place where it cannot shine in hope.
Kids, time for Sunday Mass.
We went to church at school this week. Why do we have to go again?
But Mom, I have a soccer game.
Church is boring. Why can't I just pray alone?
Giving your children a Catholic education is a great sacrifice. Yet, in the busyness of the week, we sometimes fail to give our children the greatest gift available to them, the gift of Sunday Eucharist. Jesus personally invites us to the Eucharist. It was His last gift to us before He died on the cross. Jesus is the closest to you when you receive Him into your heart through Holy Communion at Mass. How can we refuse this invitation? I'm Bishop Thomas John Piprocki of the Springfield Diocese. What was the best thing that happened to you this week? Please take some time to attend Mass and thank God for all He has given to you.
Okay, welcome back to The Cradle and the Convert. Mark, I think you have a little disclaimer you want to put out for us.
Yeah, folks, we're in a subject tonight, a very informative one, but maybe one that's not particularly suitable for youngsters or the very young. So you might want to adjust your listening position to privacy or occupy the youngsters with another activity while we discuss this. It's critical information. That's why we're getting it out there. Adolescents, I think it would be good for them to hear this.
Yeah, I think an adolescent
be aware of it. But the younger kids maybe are going to generate some questions you might not feel comfortable answering later.
Boy, there you go. Cindy and Abby, let me ask you this. This subject was brought to me after Mass one Saturday evening by a parishioner who is really interested in this subject. And she mentioned to me that there is some training being done with police departments to identify and deal with these problems. And I'm just wondering what those programs are, you know, what kind of training and community outreach you guys are doing and the different sorts of assets that are available to us to get our hands on. Aside with what we'll give here at the end, we'll give some websites. I know the Catholic Bishops Conference has a webpage and all that, but locally, is there something that we're doing? Are we working with the sheriff and police and state and that type of thing?
At this point, our team has been together for about 2 years, coming on 3 years, and we've done a lot of stirring the pot, if you will, going around, you know, it's grassroots. So raised awareness on a smaller scale at this point, but we are looking to do some more substantial trainings this spring and hopefully working with the group that Cindy mentioned earlier out of Chicago that has this grant to come downstate and do different trainings for, you know, the law enforcement and those type of industries. So,
what is any of this information being taught in the schools?
Actually, we have a couple of individuals on our team that work with, one works with New Life Pregnancy and works with Growing Strong.
Great.
And, you know, as the awareness of this issue continues to be brought to their attention, they have incorporated different pieces into their presentations that they already are doing in the schools for prevention. And so that's been a great thing to make sure that our young people are informed.
Absolutely.
So I guess the next logical question is, if you suspect something like this is going on, or you have children who are aware maybe of some kids or people that are having problems, what do you do next, Cindy?
Well, that is an interesting question, because certainly you don't ever want to put yourself in danger, because not only would it be a situation for your own personal self, but also for the person that is possibly being victimized. Mm-hmm. Because that could put them in more danger. So if someone gets that feeling that something's just not right, you know, I encourage them to pay attention to that, to call the Human Trafficking Hotline, and that number is 888-373-888, and also to call the local police to report so they could, you know, be aware and begin some sort of surveillance possible.
Okay, the phone number cut out. I don't know if you're on a speaker phone or if you're talking into the phone, but could we get that phone number again? And if you're on a speaker, it'd be better if we just went right straight to the handpiece.
Okay, it's
888-373-7888. Okay, and that is it. And they'll take anonymous calls, is that right? And even if you just have a suspicion of something, this would be, I mean, for example, you could pull up at Walmart and there'd be a van parked next to you with a bunch of people in it, and you know, you can see that maybe some of them are distressed and you just don't understand exactly what's going on. It wouldn't hurt to get a plate and call.
No, not at all.
Because a lot of this stuff does take place, doesn't it? Across the border and up to Chicago.
Sure.
And
I'm sure.
Along the interstate highways and not just in local communities, but I mean, if it's making a lot of money, it's got to be going all over the place.
And that's one of the things we try and encourage people to call, even if it seems like a small tip, because it could be a clue to something else. Or if someone else is calling with the same tip, then they start putting the pieces together. So it's a great way to raise their awareness.
Well, it's kind of the mantra in this day and age altogether, is if you see something, say something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
And nobody's ever going to get upset over an anonymous tip.
Right.
You know, that's what Crime Stoppers is for. That's what these kind of hotlines are for. Give them the information and let them vet it out.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
right?
That's right.
Now, locally,
yes.
If someone locally wanted to get involved, or one of the parishes or a church group from here in town, who would they get a hold of locally?
We have a Facebook group that they can message.
Okay.
At this point, would be the best way to contact us. They're welcome to join our group if they'd like to. They can message that group, or if they'd like us to speak mm-hmm. at their organization or their church, we'd be glad to do that. The name of that group is the Set Free Movement Macon County.
Okay, with the in front of it,
yes.
Right? The Set Free Movement Macon County.
Yes.
On Facebook. You can message Abby on Facebook through that channel, and I think that's probably the best way to do it mm-hmm. anyway. Rather than give out phone numbers and that type of thing. But go to Facebook and go to The Set Free Movement. And I can tell you, they'd appreciate it if you'd look at their Facebook page and give them a like anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We all like to get likes on our Facebook pages. So that's the best way to contact the local group. It's just something that I haven't given a lot of thought to. And then I saw the story on the news, and I was approached by Linda Fahey at church about this. It's very interesting, and it's something that it's just out there that it's like it's in the background of almost everything.
Well, you know, drugs, we always realize the impact they have on people's lives. And most of that is voluntary, people seeking the drugs. until they get addicted. But this is particularly sinister.
Yeah, it's heinous.
To play on the emotions and perhaps the misfortune of these young girls that are find themselves out on the street from one way or another, it just magnifies the evil.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also want to emphasize, though, that it's not just the runaways and the girls that are out, or the boys for a night here or there or whatever, because it's buyer-driven, like Abby alluded to in the beginning, a lot of the buyers will pay big money to get a girl, let's say a 12-year-old cute little white girl from a middle-class home. Mm. They don't want somebody that's been on the street or been in foster care, whatever. They want just, you know, what they consider to be a quote-unquote nice girl. Or I don't want to just pretend like it's girls only. Unfortunately, there's a market for boys as well. So if the buyer wants a 9-year-old boy, then that's what the traffickers go after, because they get top money for those kind of requests. And so people just need to be aware that even though their family and friends may not be in what they consider a high-risk category, that doesn't mean that somebody's not trying to seek them out. And so much is on the internet now.
Right.
Oh, my goodness. And kids are just so indiscriminate, of course, with pictures they post and comments they make. And these traffickers just troll these mm-hmm. all these sites looking for any kind of vulnerability at all. And so I just really encourage grandparents. You know, sometimes they can monitor things that the parents are just too close and too overwhelmed with everything going on. That I've had grandparents that have been able to pick up on some things and follow through. And so, you know, I try to speak to as wide of an audience as possible, because it really affects everyone. We just don't realize it's just right there. And one thing I did want to mention, the hotline, I can't emphasize enough. They're just tremendous. And I had been made aware of, through a friend, of a situation in Lincoln, which is obviously a much smaller community than Decatur, of a grandmother that became aware of her daughter and son-in-law pimping out their own daughter.
Good. Oh, my Lord.
Now, she will not disclose that to the police.
Well, sure.
At least at this point, but she told this friend of hers who had this burden then, well, what am I supposed to do with this?
Yeah, exactly.
And then she found out what I was doing and said, I need to talk to you. And so she told me all this, and I said, well, you really need to call the hotline. You got all
get that hotline involved.
And she wasn't comfortable with that, so I made the call for her.
Good.
And that was an eye-opener to me, because what they do is notify the FBI.
Awesome.
Yes, and there are two agents that work I-80 South
Right.
And within 2.5 hours, one of them was on the phone with me confirming the report, asking if I could find out more. And then I know that it was followed up on, because that was a Friday, and on Monday the detective from Lincoln was out talking to the grandmother.
Wow.
Well, that's great.
Wow, it's like a rescue.
So, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
That is awesome. Well, we've been talking this morning with Cindy Curo and Abby Fitzgerald from the local Set Free, the Set Free Movement of MaconCounty.com about human trafficking. This is Human Trafficking Awareness Month. We're glad that they were with us this morning. I'll give you the phone numbers one more time for that hotline in case you're interested or have some information or would like to have something looked into. It's 888-373-7888. The Facebook page for the local group is The Set Free Movement Macon County. And, of course, you can always call 911 if you really think there's a serious issue. Ladies, we're so thrilled to have you in here today. I mean, this
so
is
much.
Something that I really had no
thank
idea
you so much.
Was such
thank
a
you.
Big deal. We'll do this again sometime
after
Mark and I get a little more educated on this matter. It's incredible. And there are local churches, too, from what I understand, that are dealing with this. The
good.
USCCB on their website, the United States Catholic Bishops Conference, USCCB.org, about anti-trafficking program. They have a big deal going with it because, of course, the Catholic Church deals a lot with Central America and that type of thing. So we hope the listeners, we haven't offended you by what we've had to talk about this morning, but it is a very important issue. And part of our mission here at Decatur Catholic Radio is to enlighten
Absolutely.
And inform you.
You know, the truth can hurt, but sometimes the truth can set people free.
Yes.
With
that's
that information
that's
being
exactly
out
there.
Good
right.
name for the movement,
yep.
Mark.
Mm-hmm.
The Set Free Movement.
Yep.
All right, ladies, thanks so much for being with us. Mark and I will be back on the other side of the break with a gospel preview. We'll have a column from the